Hello and welcome to the Turning Points Show on World Radio Paris. I'm Patricia Colleen and today I'm delighted to be in the Moulin Rouge, the world famous Parisian capital, with two fabulous Moulin Rouge dancers. Claudine and Isabel Vandenberg Cook are sisters from Dublin, Ireland. Last month, they shook out their feathers and went back to work. The Moulin Rouge is one of Paris's most recognizable icons. Parisians, expats, and tourists are all so delighted to see that the lights have been switched back on at the iconic Red Windmill in Pigalle, just down the hill from Montmartre. On 10th of September, the legendary cabaret opened their doors after being shut for 18 long months due to COVID restrictions. And Claudine and Isabel high-kicked it back to Paris. Claudine and Isabel, welcome to Turning Points. How are you and how is it to be back to work?
Hello, it's Claudine here. It's wonderful to be back at work. We opened on the 10th of September and we opened to a very full house, two shows, and it was incredible. I felt overwhelmed and very excited and also very nervous, which is unusual because normally I have a few nerves, but not to this degree, I don't think. It was wonderful. And to have two standing ovations as well was great. That really definitely made the whole thing even better, I think.
Yeah. And Isabel, you know, for artists, you miss that feedback from the audience. You must have been quite sad maybe for the 18 months that you didn't have that. How is it to feel that return when the people appreciate it?
Hello. I definitely missed that adrenaline you get from the audience after a performance. It's definitely something that kind of feeds your self-esteem. And without it, I did feel, you know, life was just a little dull, you know, like, so being back on stage, I'm feeling really happy. Self-esteem is back up. Everything is amazing that it's going back to normal. You know, it was very long at the end of the 18 months. I was like, is this going to go again? Because it was the new variant that arrived. And then finally it happened and we opened up and it was very successful and things are on the move again. So I did miss it a lot. Yeah, I missed the stage.
It's just fabulous. The shows and Parisian cabarets are opening their doors and they're back. Now, Claudine, you're the older of the two sisters and you started dancing very young. Can you tell us a little bit about your parkour up to coming to the Moulin Rouge?
Sure. I started dancing classical ballet at around 2.5. It was obviously a great hobby then and developed into a real passion. Around 12 when I would have started doing much more classes, up to 5 and 6 classes a week. I also did other dance styles throughout my early years. So I did ballet, a little bit of contemporary, jazz, tap, a bit of Irish dancing. I did some gymnastics, not as much as Isabel, which I'm sure she's going to tell you about after. Her strengths really lie in her gymnastics, you know, something that I didn't take to as easily, if you like. That was my background. And I went on then to go to ballet school at 15, where I did 3 intensive years in ballet and contemporary dance in Ramberg School of Ballet and Contemporary Dance in London. And then I finally came out and auditioned here. That's a little bit of background.
So it's a very wide spectrum that you've covered with all the dance classes. And Claudine, as you mentioned, Isabel went more into acrobatics. And can you tell us a little bit about that, Isabel, and how it helps you in some of the performances you do here?
Yes, so I started doing gymnastics when I was about 4 or 5 at Mid Sutton Gymnastics Club. And I started off doing one class a week, but finally I went on kind of not the elite, I don't want to say elite team, but it is called the elite team. And we started doing a lot of display numbers. So balances and tumbling in it. And it definitely made me have quite a strong core inside, like the strength that comes from inside. It's, you know, also balance and, of course, having no fear when you go into, you know, backflips or different positions that are, you're moving very quickly and you just kind of have to you have to learn how to lose that fear a bit. So that definitely helps me in the can-can, because if you can, as you can see in the videos, we run on, we're moving really quickly. We're doing jump splits in the air and landing in, so a jump into a split and landing on the stage in a split. We're doing cartwheels. We're doing, I obviously do a can-can solo. So I'm doing a backflip very close to the edge of the stage. So it definitely installed in me a kind of, you know, adrenaline and to just go for things without fear. And I have to say, that really helps me in a lot of places in the show, not just the can-can. Even going up the stairs when you're in a big feather backpack, you are walking up in high heels and you're turning the plume at the same time. And some people could be afraid of heights, but because of my gymnastics training when I was on top of the balances, I don't really have that fear. I'll probably fall off though.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, the backstage, you've given me a fabulous tour here, and I had to figure out, you know, how do you get down all those tiny little corridors with the big costumes, because the feathers here are massive size. And Claudine, you told me that there's a system called crabbing that I never heard about. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. So the costumes, like you've said, are so large that and backstage here is quite small. So, and there's a lot of traffic and 60 of us moving around all at once trying to get on stage. So it's very difficult. If you don't do your crabbing, which is basically you walk sideways and you move around kind of sideways until the last minute when you face front and go on stage, and each person is standing sideways until they're about to enter the stage, if you like. So we call that crabbing. So like when you're not crabbing, you know, you could take someone out or get attached to another person who's also wearing a really big costume. So it's about, while you're in these costumes, it's about being aware of yourself in the costume, and it's about being aware of everyone else in their costumes, also big and all different costumes as well. We have 1,000 different costumes. So yeah, there's a lot to navigate.
And you have 1,000 different costumes, and in a night you might change 10 times, would you? 12 times. And listen, Isabel, I mean, these costumes, I've just seen them, they're spectacular. They must cost an absolute fortune. Can you tell us a bit about your costume budget?
So at the beginning of the show, a budget of 4 million was spent on the costumes and the creation of the costumes. But then furthermore, now it's been 10 million spent on costumes, because we have a high standard of costumes. If one costume has a fault or it's gone off color, they won't be able to just get one new costume. They will get a whole line of new costumes. So it's actually 10 million gone into the reparations of the costumes.
That's amazing, because I know you're 60 Doris dancers, but I think there's about like 350 people employed by the whole Moulin Rouge to keep all of this going. It's like, it's a huge, 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 huge production. Now, you girls are currently the only Irish people. Now, you're like culture ambassadors for our country on the stage of the Moulin Rouge, but you also work with dancers from 14 different other countries. That must be great fun. Can you tell me, Claudine, a little bit about that? Like, do you have great friends, Scottish friends, different?
Yeah, so we're 14 different nationalities. I'm a principal dancer here, and I work very closely with two other girls, Caroline and Sarah. Sarah's Scottish and Caroline is English. And beside us, we also work with Dennis, who's principal boy, and he's Romanian. And that just gives you a small indication of already the amount of different nationalities we have here. And it's lovely because we celebrate, you know, different days. You know, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day here sometimes, and they turn the Moulin green, actually, which is great. So that's really always fun. I'm always wondering if they're going to do that this year, and I'm hoping that they are. And yeah, that's always an exciting time. Lots of people go out. They like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. It's big everywhere, you know. We also do like 4th of July. We have a lot of American people here. We'll celebrate the 4th of July, and we'll do Bastille Day, obviously. And yeah, so that's lovely, because we get to celebrate these things in ways that we didn't know. And also even just getting together for dinners and different people making dishes from where they come from, and explaining a bit about what the dish entails and everything. I'm kind of passionate about food, and so is Isabel. So that's always nice as well.
I'm delighted to hear you have all that fun, because your week is actually a very, very tough schedule. You have two shows every night and then you have all your rehearsals. So I guess would you have like your social life late at night or?
So before COVID, yes, it would have been, I would have been, had a more social life late at night. After the show, we might maybe go and have a dinner and some drinks, or, you know, then maybe from the next day at like 1 o'clock, that's where social things could restart again, because usually that's kind of the rule at Moulin, not before one, when you're working until like 1 a.m, 2 a.m. by the time you get home. So
brunch.
Yeah, we do a lot of brunch. We also meet to do dance classes, go shopping, go and see other shows in Paris, museums. Whenever they're there, museums. I'm actually also into photography, so I now actually get up quite early after this pandemic, because obviously my schedule had changed and I was waking up much earlier in the morning, and I've tried to kind of keep that because I like to see the light of day and go out and take Paris in a bit better. Yeah,
Paris in the morning is definitely magical. Now, your current show, The Fairy Show, that's a magical show, and in it, Claudine, you interpret La Goulou. Can you tell us a little bit about La Goulou? And I just want to tell our listeners, I'm actually here sitting in the Toulouse-Lautrec room, and there's pictures all around. And many of the pictures are the famous dancer La Goulou from the Belle Époque. And here's Claudine to tell you about her role.
So the role I play, La Goulou, it was a muse of Toulouse-Lautrec's. The role itself, I'll speak from a dancing perspective, is very, very fun to play. There's a lot of freedom in the role. I think because La Goulou also was quite free. So I get to actually interpret that on stage. So it's a kind of a note in history that I even, normally things are quite choreographed in the show. Obviously this is less choreographed. And it tells the story, you know, it tells the story, the policeman comes and you do a dance with him. And it's quite a difficult part to play because it's very free and everyone knows La Goulou. So when especially our French audience, when they come, you know, they know La Goulou. Even when if I'm backstage or there's an interview, they say, ah, La Goulou, just from the way you're dressed. And yeah, that this is because a lot of the other costumes are very big and this one's obviously looser. And yeah, it's a wonderful part to play. It's probably my favorite, actually, I would say.
Now, I have to tell the listeners, this is the show that's gone on for over 130 years. And the COVID restrictions that shut you down for 18 months, that was the longest period that the show has ever shut since the World War in 1915. So that just shows what those restrictions, how, you know, social life just did really, really, really die for a while. Now, if a young girl or a young boy, because in the Doris Dancers, there's young girls and young boys, came to see your show and was a dancer and said to you, listen, it's my dream. I mean, you've just taken me away in dreamland and it's my dream to come and audition for, you know, the Moulin Rouge. What would your advice, girls, be to that young girl or boy?
Well, that's actually funny that you say that, because that's kind of the story we had, because Claudine was here before me. And when I came to see the show at like 15, I fell in love, and, you know, the costumes, how amazing it was. So she's the one who gave me the advice about the audition. And I think my advice would be, from a dance perspective, is have very good extensions, like high kicks, you know, do a lot of stretching on the splits and the hamstrings before, because they expect the legs up. And also practice cartwheels, because in the audition, they obviously look out for possible can-canners, you know, so they like a little bit of, they do test people's cartwheels to see that they're clean and tidy. So practice your cartwheels. Definitely, then I'll go a little bit more into style. One should have a good personality. Performance is very important, because it's a massive audition and you need to stand out. So there needs to be a really high level of performance and engagement to whoever is casting you. You know, you need to look them in the eye. Aside from that, be yourself, bring your own personality and wear something high cut, maybe a leotard that's high cut, so you can show off those long legs that they like at the Moulin Rouge.
There are definitely long legs at the Moulin Rouge, because I had the delight to see Isabel and Claudine in their can-can outfits before this interview started. Now, you girls, you're very tall. What is the height requirements?
It's the height requirements for girls is 175 minimum, and for boys it's 185 centimeters. So yeah, very tall. I think I just wanted to say a little bit more on what Isabel said. I think the personality is really important to shine through in the audition. They're always looking for people who can bring their own personality, and I think it's important to show your own personality in your audition as well.
I think you two sparkle, and I think that's so important, because that's like, that gives a great stage presence as well as the fabulous technique of dancing and everything. And when I'm just sitting here, I'm thinking, you know, another Irish girl, Mae Belford, cut the eye of Toulouse-Lautrec, and she was the girl in the little red dress. So you're carrying on a tradition of beautiful women that were associated with Toulouse-Lautrec, associated with Pigalle, associated with Montmartre, and it's just fantastic to find out more about these lovely stories. And time is actually flying by, but I'd just like to ask you, like, as you look down the line, what, you know, are your future projects, both of you?
So, Isabel here. I'm really enjoying my career here at the Moulin Rouge. I've been here 6 years now. I don't plan to leave anytime soon, because I really love what I do. I feel the contract is amazing. We have lots of free time during the day as well when we're not doing rehearsals and dance classes. So it gives me time to practice my photography for later on in life. I'm really passionate about that also. And yeah, I think I want to stay here as long as I can and have a long, prosperous dance career. And after that, I would probably like to stay in the arts in photography.
It's lovely, arts and photography. So always a creative line. And what about you, Claudine?
So for the moment, I'm, like Isabel, really enjoying my role. I'm not long in my principal role. So I'm really enjoying exploring that. I've lots of other interests as well. I'm not really sure what I'd like to do afterwards, because I'm enjoying this so much for now. And I'm hoping to be injury free for as long as I possibly can. But yeah, I'm just really enjoying this. I'm reading and exploring other things as well, but nothing set in stone for now.
Well, on the stage of the Moulin Rouge or off the stage following other projects, your life is always going to be sparkling and creative. That's obvious. Time has flown by. We're going to wrap up. And thank you so much, ladies, for joining us today and letting us know about the amazingly exciting world of being a dancer at the Moulin Rouge, and for bringing that wonderful sparkle into our lives, which we appreciate even so much more after confinement. I can only just imagine what a turning point it was in both your lives when you left Dublin and set out on your careers for the magical Moulin Rouge Cabaret. Until the next time, dear listeners, get out and enjoy Paris's fabulous shows, cabarets, and let yourself be transported. I've booked my tickets for the Moulin Rouge, and I'm really looking forward to see Claudine and Isabel on stage. And if you'd like to see the spectacular programme, the fairy show, book your tickets on moulinrouge.fr. I'm going to pass back to Claudine and Isabel to say goodbye from the exquisite decor of the Moulin Rouge.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to us today. We had an absolutely fabulous time. And thank you, Patricia, for having us on your show.
It was lovely to be here, Patricia. Thanks a million. And we hope to see many more Irish people coming to see the show here in Paris. Thank you.
And all the World Radio listeners, you know where to go for a fantastic night out. Thank you so much, and goodbye.